I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. We survived September 11, didn't we? Sort of. You're tuning in live this Monday, September 12, 2022. Excuse me, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Last week I mentioned in the run up to the 21st anniversary of September 11th, some things that we are supposed to, you know, every year we get the annual Never Forget the trauma-based mind control stuff, but we don't get the, you know, curious things that happened that we're not supposed to remember. You know, all of those things, I mentioned some of those, obviously, last week. The things that stick out in my mind, anyway, you know, things like the curious history of the date September 11. You go back in history and you find curious things like the Pentagon. You know, ground was broken to build the Pentagon on 9/11, 1941. I think that's kind of interesting. So, you know, 60 years to the day, we have a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor, which obviously calls to mind the September 2000 report from the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC, filled with neocons or leocons, like I said, who is Leo Strauss? Most Americans don't know. Rebuilding America's Defenses, which also had that interesting soundbite about how biological warfare could become a political tool, politically useful tool, targeting certain genotypes, they said, could become a politically useful tool. Or the April 2001 Rand Corporation monograph, Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. And that was at a time when still this term homeland was anathema in America. We did not use it. Here it was something that harkened back to Nazi Germany. And speaking of Nazis, we'll get to that in a minute. Or, you know, Bill Cooper essentially foreshadowing or, you know, really predicting, didn't mention the day, but, you know, he said they're going to try to blame it on Osama bin Laden. Don't you believe it? He said that on June 28, 2001, and he was dead by November 2001. Or J. Michael Springman's revelations about, you know, as the former U.S. consulate visa officer in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, he told us all about the CIA's visas for terrorist program. He said, the CIA forced me to allow terrorists into the U.S. And it wasn't just that simple. He detailed how that worked. And that anyone who was there at the Jeddah consulate was essentially in tow. Or the fact that 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudi, including bin Laden, of course. Or what Frank DeMartini said in January of 2001 about the towers, you know. Flying a 707, he said it was designed to resist multiple 707 impacts because that was the largest commercial airliner at the time. And he said it would be that steel superstructure outer grid would be, you know, flying a plane into it would be like poking a pencil into your screen door. It would do nothing. But then we heard on September 11, 2001, that these aluminum tubes crashed into this massive steel and concrete structure and caused it to, both of them, to collapse into their footprint. Or what Aaron Russo said about Nick Rockefeller and the conversation with Nick Rockefeller about, you know, Nick Rockefeller saying before September 11, you know, people are going to be, pretty soon something's going to happen. People are going to be looking for guys in caves and stuff like that. It's going to be crazy. And Aaron Russo said, I remember after September 11 going, oh, this is what Nick Rockefeller was talking about. Or you can listen to Colleen Rowley was Time's Person of the Year back in 2002. She was the FBI whistleblower. And you can listen to her. We should play that clip, actually. Back in 2008, she said, you know, that whole bogus narrative about how, oh, we never could have seen. She said that she was sending memos to Robert Mueller saying you can't say that because we had all of this evidence. They had, you know, her big thing. They were pursuing the Al-Qaeda network, and she was talking about how they already had Massawi in August, and there were warnings that were not heeded, and you know, all of the nonsense we've heard about, you know, Condi Rice saying no one could have foreseen, you know, hijacking a plane, flying into the building, and even veteran FBI staff attorney and whistleblower Colleen Rowley said way back in the day, that's not true. And she was actually she's responsible for the memo that essentially said, you can't keep saying this because we all know it's not true. But who's heard of Colleen Rowley lately? or, I don't know, the fact that the CIA created Osama bin Laden, that was an established fact of history, so much so that Norm Dixon, a week after September 11, 2001, Green Left Daily went away. Hopefully it comes back. Norm Dixon published the article. Where's Norm's article? There it is. How the CIA created Osama bin Laden, September 18, 2001. How the CIA created Osama bin Laden by Norm Dixon. And we'd heard this already. I mean, didn't we just go through Reagan's Freedom Fighters? Maybe we should play Pirates and Emperors, because there are pirates and emperors, but they're really the same thing, right? And that was based on Noam Chomsky's book, right? This is not a new subject. This is not a new discussion. And if you watch the video, maybe we'll play that. It's been a while since we've played it. What meanest thou by seizing the whole earth? Because I do with a petty ship, I'm called a robber. What thou doest with, you know, as a state crime of state, are styled an emperor. I'm a petty robber and you're an emperor for doing the same thing. So how weird are things? Let's see. Robin Cook told us, remember, back in his article, The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means, over at The Guardian. He told us that Al-Qaeda was literally the database. Remember, that used to be reported in the mainstream news early on. It was the database, CIA database, originally the computer file of thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians, Robin Cook wrote. And curiously, this was... So Robin Cook's article was published the day after the London 7/7 bombings back in 2005. Robin Cook was, you know, kind of a James Bond type of a guy. And so, you know, he tells us this, tells us, you know, the struggle against terrorism cannot be won by military means. We have to find common ground with folks. You keep going around the world, poking the world in the nose, or as Gary Webb, author of Dark Alliance, you know, about how the CIA is responsible for most of the drug trafficking in America and the world, and not just, Dark Alliance. And we play the clip every once in a while of Gary Webb on C-SPAN's Washington Journal talking about Jonathan Quitney and his book, Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World, being asked in 1998 about Osama bin Laden. Robin Wright's article in the LA Times, and Gary Webb, citing Jonathan Quitney, said, I think Jonathan Quitney said it best, you know, when you go around the world shooting people with American guns and American bullets, you have a tendency to make enemies. So Robin Cook echoed that sentiment and said, we have to find common ground. As long as we're doing this, as long as we're poking the world in the nose, we're going to escalate violence. And so, you know, saying that Osama bin Laden was recruited throughout the 80s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda was literally the database, the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA. So, curiously, I mean, think about the fact that this article was published the day after the London 7/7 bombings. That's timing. So it was an important thing. Imagine working on this article, having it ready to go to press the day after this awful event in 2005. And as I mentioned before, less than a month later, Robin Cook was dead, which I find a curious coincidence of timing. So, but who's read this article lately? So Robin Cook told us Al-Qaeda was literally the name for the CIA database of the Mujahideen fighters. CIA created it. Then there was that article that William Bloom and friends translated from the French La Nouvelle Observatoire interview, Brzezinski's interview, Jeffrey St. Clair and Alexander Cockburn titled the article, How Jimmy Carter and I Started the Mujahideen. Why is all of this important? Well, because these were the roots of what we're told allegedly happened on September 11, 2001. Who created all of this? So, you know, then there were the Bush family, Bin Laden family connections, Sibel Edmonds, 9/11 revelations as a former FBI translator, saying it seemed like the Bush administration was ushering and shuttling these folks, the main suspects, you would think, out of the country immediately after September 11, 2001. Or Heinz Alfred Henry Kissinger recusing himself as 9/11 commission head after being confronted by 9/11 victims' families for his Kissinger associate and associates consulting firm, wink, wink, having bin Laden clientele. Don't you think that's a conflict of interest? Heinz Alfred Kissinger, or criminal by many standards. So, again, Brzezinski admitting that, you know, and he even boasted about creating the Mujahideen, which later obviously morphed and splintered into the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Nusra Front, Lashkar-e-Taiba, etc., etc. But, you know, he was asked back in 1998, Zbigniew Brzezinski was, when he said, you know, the day that the Soviets invaded, he said, I called to, he called to congratulate Carter, but he wrote a note and said, we now have the opportunity of giving the USSR its Vietnam War. So he was asked, you know, when the Soviets justified their intervention by asserting that they intended to fight against the secret involvement of the United States in Afghanistan, people didn't believe them. However, there was a basis of truth. You don't regret anything today? Basically, you lied them into a conflict. And by the way, we pulled our support out. We told the Mujahideen we would support them. And that wasn't true. We stepped out of the way, as is customary. Remember when back in 2007 on the book trail at the Commonwealth Club, Wes Clark said the same thing, and he talked about a policy coup, speaking about all of this. Policy coup, turn the Middle East upside down, make it in our image. Did anybody ever tell you about that? Did we have a vote on that? He said. So Brzezinski is asked, do you regret any of this? And he said, regret what? The secret operation was an excellent idea. It had the effect of drawing the Russians into the Afghan trap. And you want me to regret it? And he said, so he was asked again, neither do you regret having supported the Islamic insurgency, having given arms and advice to future terrorists. Again, September 11, you know, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, etc. And he said, what is most important to the history of the world, the Taliban or the collapse of the Soviet Empire, some stirred up Muslims, or the liberation of Central Europe in the end of the Cold War? So this is the history. You know, we could go on and on. You know, the Taliban tried to surrender. Anand Gopal wrote a book about it. The Pentagon said, no, thanks. Al-Qaeda was down in the early days to a handful of members, but we had to manufacture some more. Weapons to the terrorists, Carl Cameron's Israeli spying, everything Christopher Bolin has said, the Yanan plan, urban moving, what we've seen as a result, like Yale Islamic Studies, which is actually Wahhabi and Salafi studies. Frontline Saudi time bomb, or Frontline's awkward U.S.-Saudi alliance against ISIS. The U.N. Human Rights Council telling us that Saudi Arabia and Israel are the worst human rights violators on the planet, literally without exception. But they're our dearest allies in the region. And arguably the most suspect and culpable on September 11, 2001. Wes Clark's Commonwealth Policy Clue, his Commonwealth Club policy coup he talked about. Oh, yeah. And Building 7 that even Rosie O'Donnell said on The View is impossible for a building to fall the way it fell without explosives being involved. Things like that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
The DOJ is appealing the decision to appoint a special master in the Trump case. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Yes, the Justice Department has appealed the ruling on a special master in the Trump Mar-a-Lago case, saying that the investigation could be irreparably injured by a pause. Really? The DOJ didn't seem bothered by a pause when they waited 3 months before the raid. In fact, the DOJ didn't seem bothered at all when Trump cooperated back in April. What damage could possibly be done by waiting for an independent third party to review the seized documents? Maybe the Department of Justice just doesn't want an independent third party to see the stuff at all. We already know the FBI took documents protected by the attorney-client privilege. What else may they have taken? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
So all of these things happened. How did this happen? And more importantly, how have we gotten here with this cognitive dissonance, this schizophrenia-inducing double bind, these competing narratives? I mean, all of the things that I mentioned are historical fact. Who benefits from the events of September 11? And as some people have speculated or conjectured, you know, if you do what was allegedly done, and you are, if we're to believe the establishment narrative that 19 hijackers armed with box cutters, blah, 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 it was Al-Qaeda, it was Osama bin Laden, you know, and I didn't even include Osama bin Laden's letter. When was that published? I forget. Bin Laden's letter that said, I didn't do it. And, you know, people will say, well, that's ridiculous. You know, never listen to the terrorists. Well, we do it all the time these days. That happens all the time. I mentioned it several times. You know, then there's, I don't know, the Fox News, Bin Laden already dead, Christmas 2001. Then, you know, there's Extortion 17, on and on. We could go down the rabbit hole, but we won't. So how does this happen? And I intend to get there. I intend to go from this. The point of all of this is not to rehash things that I already mentioned last week, you know, and we did the September 11th thing yesterday. But, you know, as Lark mentioned on Friday, you know, Julian Jaynes, The Bicameral Mind, Linda Stone, Continuous Partial Attention, and this kind of thing. I mentioned Neil Postman. I think, you know, I've speculated that if we could feed Americans a steady diet of Neil Postman and Nicholas Carr for some time, then we could probably undo this mess, because they tell us that, you know, for example, Nicholas Carr told us that the internet is rotting our brain and destroying our ability to concentrate and hold a thought. And Neil Postman said essentially the same thing beforehand. He was saying, you know, we need to be very careful and very thoughtful about how we allow this to influence us. We should pay close attention. So, you know, now we have all kinds of, this has gone even further. I would say even further than Neil Postman. You know, if you listen to him in those talks 30 years ago, he said on a number of occasions, I don't think that we face, basically he was saying, I don't think we face any sort of existential threat greater than what we faced historically. And I would kind of challenge that. But we've gone places that this cognitive dissonance and dialectical approach to so-called thinking has taken us. You know, he pointed out the absurdity of things like AT&T's slogan, reach out and touch someone. It's not the same thing. That, to Lark's point, again, is a reification fallacy. These things are not the same. To reach out and touch someone is to physically touch someone. To call someone on the phone is not the same. He used the example of their commercial with the young lady leaving her father whose wife has just passed away, and he says, why is she leaving? Audience laughs. But seriously, why is she leaving? Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago when warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, our story begins, you know, with old St. Augustine. Way back in days of old, he reported on this theme. A mighty emperor had caught himself a pirate who was terrorizing people who were sailing on the open seas.
What meanest thou by keeping hostile possession of the sea? What meanest thou by seizing the whole earth? Because I do it with a petty ship, I'm called a robber. Whilst thou, who does the same with a great fleet, art styled emperor.
And old St. Augustine thought that was a pretty smart answer. Cause there are pirates and emperors, but they're really the same thing. When they go and try to reach the same ends by using the same means. Well, they do it big or they do it small. From a little tiny boat or from hallowed halls. Bully is as bully does, that's plain to see. Speaking of bullies, what would you say about a gang of vicious, low-down thugs who were trying to overthrow the government by attacking undefended civilian targets like schools, farms, hospitals, and outreach centers?
Why, I'd say they were terrorists.
I'm sorry, the correct answer is freedom fighters. At least that's what you called these thugs, aka the Contras, when you funded their campaign of terror and indiscriminate killing to overthrow the government of Nicaragua.
Welcome back.
There was trouble in the land of Nicaragua, yeah. In the 80s. It's
Pirates and Emperors. Bill Moyers did an expose, among others. You know, his was titled The Secret Government, The Constitution in Crisis, back in 1987. Ronnie said, well, I can't remember. And, you know, we accepted this plausible deniability. And I believe that he was compartmentalized. And Poppy was probably more of a, you know, the central command figure, kind of like for W, it was probably more Cheney than W pulling the strings on this kind of nonsense so that you can maintain plausible deniability, certainly. Anyway, examples from history. What are you talking about? I mentioned Colleen Rowley and the things that she said historically. Can we play that, please? Colleen Rowley.
Double the mistakes. Part of ethics, it's the painful, icky part of ethics, but it certainly is a big part, is unraveling mistakes. It first requires admitting the mistake. I mean, right off the start. If you remember after 9/11, Condi Rice said, well, and there's a movie out right now called 9/11, Press for Truth. Has anyone seen it? Anyone? It's actually a pretty good movie. It's a little documentary. It's called 9/11, Press for Truth, and they have all that old footage of Condi Rice saying, well, I don't think anyone would have known that someone would hijack a plane and fly it into a building. Guess what? All kinds of people knew. There had been prior plots. I mean, you start looking at this. Actually, Condi Rice herself had been involved in protection for the G8. They had even exercises along these lines. There had been that was one thing. Our FBI director said something for about 3 weeks. He said, well, no one could have prevented 9/11. If we had had any idea, maybe we could have prevented 9/11. If we'd had any inkling of this. And of course, he was actually called on the day of 9/11 about the Moussaoui case. The agents in Minnesota were so worried that the case itself would be covered up. In order to prevent this embarrassment that, you know, that there was a terrorist connection already known. And there are things about this terrorist connection. For instance, our acting supervisor, August 23rd, 24th, in arguing with headquarters to go for this warrant, and the guy was saying, no, we can't do it. Our acting supervisor had said, this is a guy who could fly into the World Trade Center. And that was said in August 2001. Can you imagine how embarrassing this is? And of course, Mueller knows it. He knows that was even said very quickly. Now, and of course, so for 3 weeks, he's saying, well, if we had known, we may have been able to prevent it. I tried to call the director, and this is after 9/11, to get him to stop saying that, because I said, oh my gosh, when this comes out, and I knew there had been emails flying between our office and headquarters. I didn't know there were 70 emails. When our agent testified recently in the Moussaoui case, it comes out there's 60, 70 emails. I knew that the communication that they had tried to seek was several pages long and included a lot of facts. And I knew I knew a lot of the arguments that had taken place, but I didn't know all of it. So when he said that, I tried to call the director's office, and I got to somebody.
That's Colleen Rowley. That is veteran FBI staff attorney turned whistleblower Colleen Rowley. That was back in 2008. On her UCTV interview. You can find that on YouTube, U.S. Intelligence 9/11 and Iraq, a whistleblower story. So you hear her, I mean, she even says, you know, there's a movie out, 9/11 Press for Truth. Have you heard about it? Have you heard? So how does this happen? You know, Zacharias Moussaoui is still, to my knowledge, I think he's the only person tried and convicted in connection with the events of September 11, 2001. So that's interesting. He was actually arrested on August 16, 2001, as she you sort of heard her allude to. She talks about that in that talk, but she alluded to that. So Moussaoui was alleged by federal prosecutors to have been a replacement for the first 20th hijacker. And, you know, there's more to that story, but these are facts that have sort of gone, you know, under the bridge and by the wayside. So how is this happening? How are we not sticking to what has happened? I want to play one more clip. Is Colleen Rowley lying? Or is her whistleblower testimony true? I think she's compartmentalized and doesn't realize still probably to this day exactly. I mean, how can you watch 9/11 Press for Truth, be the veteran FBI staff attorney turned whistleblower, and not kind of think, now wait a minute, hold on a minute. I know she's an intelligent lady. It's sort of a testament to the compartmentalization and this overwhelming desire not to believe certain things. But that actually happened, and that was more than 10 years ago. That's going on 15 years ago that she said that. And obviously, as Time Person of the Year back in 2002, this is not news today. This is something that we've known for a long time. These are the inner workings of what was happening at the FBI, according to Colleen Rowley. So I would consider her an unimpeachable witness. Also, in this case, for sure. We have Wes Clark, former Sovereign Grand Commander. Just kidding. NATO Supreme Allied Commander in Europe from 97 to 2000. And what he said on the book trail back in 2007. The For a TV interview at the Commonwealth Club is the one that we always play. Other people play the Democracy Now! Interview with Amy Goodman. I think the For a TV coverage of his talk at the Commonwealth Club is the more detailed account of what happened. So here, can we play an excerpt of that? Wes Clark's the video is titled America's Foreign Policy Coup. So go ahead, please.
To paper off his desk. He said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office that says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in seven countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, seven countries in 5 years. I said, is that a classified memo? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. He was about to show it to me. He said, because I want to talk about it. And I sat on this information for a long time, for about 6 or 8 months. I was so stunned by this, I couldn't begin to talk about it. And I couldn't believe it would really be true, but that's actually what happened. These people took control of the policy in the United States. And I realized then, it came back to me, a 1991 meeting I had with Paul Wolfowitz. You know, in 2001, he was Deputy Secretary of Defense, but in 1991, he was the Under Secretary of Defense for Policy. It's the number three position in the Pentagon. And I had gone to see him when I was a one-star general. I was commanding the National Training Center. I had met him one time. He said, if you ever get to Washington, come look me up. They always say that. Well, I was there in Washington. It was a Friday afternoon. I'd visited Colin Powell. He'd given me 5 minutes of his precious time and sent me on my way, and I was bored in the Pentagon. And I thought, I'll just go, who can I see? I think I'll see Wolfowitz. So I called, and up there, he was available. Scooter Libby came to the door. I met Scooter for the first time, and he brought me in. And I said to Paul, and this is 1991, I said, Mr. Secretary, you must be pretty happy with the performance of the troops in Desert Storm. And he said, well, yeah, he said, but not really. He said, because the truth is we should have gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't. And this was just after the Shia uprising in March of 91, which we had provoked, and then we kept our troops on the sidelines and didn't intervene. And he said, but one thing we did learn, he said, we learned that we can use our military in the region, in the Middle East, and the Soviets won't stop us. He said, and we've got about 5 or 10 years to clean up those old Soviet client regimes, Syria, Iran, Iraq, before the next great superpower comes on to challenge us. And it was like, you know, I'm coming out of the Mojave Desert. I've been training troops. I haven't been thinking geostrategy for some time. And suddenly a guy just sort of shoves this nugget at you. Well, you remember it. It was a pretty stunning thing. You mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments. It's not to sort of deter conflict. We're going to invade countries. And, I you know, my mind was spinning. And I put that aside. It was like a nugget that you hold on to. This country was taken over by a group of people with a policy coup. Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you could name a half dozen other collaborators from the Project for a New American Century. They wanted us to destabilize the Middle East, turn it upside down, make it under our control. It went back to those comments in 1991. Now, did anybody ever tell you that? Was there a national dialogue on this? Did senators and congressmen stand up and denounce this plan? Was there a full-fledged American debate on it? Absolutely not. And there still isn't. And that's why we're failing in Iraq.
Yeah. So, that happened, as they say. How is this continuing to happen? Again, that was 15 years ago. 15 years ago. And there are folks who would try to tell us, try to pat us on the head, tell us to go back to sleep, because we're not foreign policy experts. You know, I feel like Forrest Gump. I'm not a smart man, Jenny. But I know what wrong is. I know what evil is. I know what state crimes are. This is not a good thing. And this is illustrative of my point that government in cases like this is a euphemism for someone's special interest. So where do you draw the line when, you know, you have the Wolfowitz doctrine, so-called, that's just rebranded with each new administration, of clandestine. You know, Rumsfeld says sometimes we need to cooperate with folks we wouldn't want to have as our neighbors. Where does it end? The enemy of my enemy is my friend produces enemies in the long run. Nothing but enemies. It makes for a lonely world. Where's the end of all of this? And so just to sort of validate the insanity, where are we today? I mean, we spent $14 trillion in the war on terror. We probably could have done better things with this, you know, $14 trillion. And how much of it has gone to greed and corruption, not to mention there was an AP article I saw over the weekend study Pentagon reliance on contractors hurt the U.S., in 9/11 wars, up to half of the $14 trillion spent by the Pentagon since 9/11 went to for-profit defense contractors, a study released Monday found. That was published September 13, 2021, last year. And this gets back to what I say about Cheney's the study that he commissioned. So is it his? I always forget. I think so. Dick Cheney's Halliburton, a corporate case study. That was in The Guardian. Is it the Halliburton Wikipedia page? It's either Halliburton or Cheney's. 1990s. I think it's the Halliburton, yeah. Following the end of Operation Desert Storm in February 1991, the Pentagon, led by then Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, paid Halliburton subsidiary Brown and Root Services over $8.5 million to study the use of private military forces with American soldiers in combat zones. What did Michael Rupert tell us in Crossing the Rubicon about this stuff? Let me see if I can flip to that real fast. Independent News Service, Newsmaking News.com also describes how in 1998, with Cheney as chairman, Halliburton spent $8.1 billion to purchase Dresser Industries. We've talked about this in the past. And Darwin Payne's book on the subject. A supplier of oil industry equipment and drilling machinery, this made Halliburton a corporation that will have a presence in almost any future oil drilling operation anywhere in the world. And it also brought back into the family fold the company that had once sent a plane, also in 1948, to fetch the new Yale graduate George Herbert Walker Bush to begin his career in the Texas oil business. Bush the Elder's father, Prescott, served as managing director of the firm that once owned Dresser, Brown Brothers Harriman. We'll finish that balance.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. All right, quickly, we got to get to the phones here in a second. So back to Wikipedia for a second. Halliburton in the 1990s. What do you suppose happened with that study? Of course, the study was favorable. Yeah, we should use a private contract. And now, what do you know? All these years later, some you know, 30 years later, $14 trillion later. Much of it, up to half, went to for-profit defense contractors. What do you know about that? Study, Pentagon reliance on contractors hurt U.S. in 9/11 wars. Published again last September. So that was an AP story. So study was obviously favorable. And then the next thing you know, where did Dick Cheney go? It's this combine. It's the Power League combine that C. Wright Mills talked about. So during the Balkans conflict in the 1990s, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, KBR, supported U.S. peacekeeping forces in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, and Hungary with food, laundry, transportation, and other life cycle management services. In 1998, Halliburton merged with Dresser Industries, which included Kellogg. Prescott Bush, remember, maybe speaking of Prescott Bush, maybe we should play John Buchanan's little bit. Remember what John Buchanan said and the extensive research that John Buchanan did to confirm and expose the Bush family Nazi connections? Why do you keep talking about Nazis, Chris? We're getting to that. All right, so Prescott Bush, obviously, you know, people say Nazi sympathizer. I would say that's being far too kind. Prescott Bush was director of Dresser Industries. Remember when Darwin Payne wrote an initiative on energy? I've read from it. I don't have it handy, or I'd probably read it now. Four Skull and Bonesmen in the same room. What do you know? Amazing. Prescott Bush was a director of Dresser Industries, which is now part of Halliburton. His son, former President George Herbert Walker Bush, worked for Dresser Industries in several positions from 1948 to 1951 before he founded Zapata Corporation. And from there, we go back to what day was that? Whatever day it was that Quince in Florida mentioned Wayne Madsen's The Almost Classified Guide to CIA Front Companies, Proprietaries, and Contractors. From Air America to Zapata Offshore. All right, we'll go to the phones when we come back. Second hour coming up right after the short break. Stick around.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.